Hi, I'm Brother Hammett. It's a joy to have you in worship today. If you're worshiping at home, I invite you to prepare yourself and your surroundings. Get comfortable, maybe light a candle or two. We usually celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month, and you're always welcome to join us for that. Just have a little bread and grape juice or wine for everyone. Please let us know that you're here by scanning the QR code with the camera on your phone or smart device, or simply post a comment in the chat. I pray God blesses you through this service. We'll begin in just a moment.
Good morning, good morning, Asbury. How are you? All right, all right. Every week, it's just, they're never that good. But hopefully you'll be better. Let's stand and worship. The energy would be better if everybody would just come in from the hall at 11. Y'all ready? And all the people said amen. One, two, three, four.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Asbury. It is Confirmation Sunday today, and we, the sanctuary service, we had an opportunity to celebrate four of our students who have confirmed their faith in Christ. We have one of them here for this service too, as a pastor's kid. And so let's begin our time together with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for this wonderful time where we can come together to praise and worship you, to glorify you for all the ways in which you pour blessings into our lives. This morning we have a special occasion for joy and for blessing, and that is the confirming of the faith of four of our young men and women. And God, we ask today that your spirit moves strongly among them, that as they go through life and the ups and downs that come with it, that they remember above all else that you never leave them, never forsake them. Help them to always seek Christ in their hearts. And God, this morning, let their vows and then our commitment to them be a reminder to us that you are still alive and working powerfully in our own lives. So God, meet us where we are today. Help heal us. Help us to feel your presence strongly in our lives. We pray this morning, God, for all of those who are hurting, those among us who are in need of healing, who are in need of your grace. We pray for all those, God, who have turned from you. May they be brought back to you in a mighty way. We pray for all of those in our Asbury community that are dealing with illnesses and other issues right now. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith and Val Carr. We pray for Gene Hammett and Mark Schimmer, for David Mackey, Edith Roberts, for Hugh Roberts. We pray for Gail Pulley, for Arlen Thomas, Deborah Gangliff, Bob and Janie Clements. Pray for Marlene Idaker and Linda Staten. We pray for Richard Blush and Lita Anglin. Pray for Joyce Dennis, and God, we pray for all of those whose names are at the top of our minds and the front of our hearts and on the tip of our tongues. We know and trust that you're at work in all of their lives in a mighty way, so we just ask above all else that your will be done. And God, this morning we gather as we always do to give you thanks and praise for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are nothing without him and nothing apart from him. We thank you for his mighty sacrifice on the cross. We thank you for the victory at the resurrection over sin and death. We thank you for all he has taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. And we thank you for this time of prayer. We thank you for Jesus who taught us how to pray with the Lord's Prayer. We'll now say that together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and sing this song with us. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever
grace and peace
love and trust him in his presence daily. this time, please find someone around you, introduce yourself, and pass the love and peace of Jesus.
Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad that you're here. As we greet one another in person, you're welcome to greet each other in the chat if you like. You may also use this time to sign in or download the Sanctuary Bulletin by scanning the QR codes or by using the link below. May the peace of Christ be with you as we worship together.
Well, all right. Well, good morning, and once again, welcome to Asbury. We are thankful you are with us. It is Confirmation Sunday, as I said before. We have had this blessed opportunity of celebrating our four confirmands this morning. Eli Odena, Meredith Parker, Addison Landers, and Liam Schimmer. And this morning in the 9 o'clock service, they did their confirmation vows. They did not run out the door screaming, and so we are thankful for that. And later on in this service, you will have an opportunity as a congregation to commit to them and to their life as well. And so we'll do that here in a little bit. When you walked in, you were given a Connect tab, which you can use to log your attendance, or as several of you are doing right now, you can go ahead and scan that QR code. And that will give you an opportunity to do your attendance, but it'll also give you a chance to put in prayer requests, find out about the events and life at Asbury. And so it's a great thing to have, so go ahead and scan that at your convenience. This morning for our sermon series, Brother Hammond is going to preach on salvation. And the series we have is called Between the Ditches. And that's a perfect segue as we prepare our hearts and minds for the offering. And I'll call the ushers forward at this time. One of the things you'll hear a lot if you're in Methodism long enough is the order of salvation that John Wesley talked about. But what we've realized in our life is that this road to salvation that we're on can be quite messy. It can be up and it can be down. And there's good days and there's really bad days. And one of the things I reminded the confirmands of a couple weeks ago is the beautiful thing about this life in Christ is that no matter what happens to you, you can choose every day to wake up and choose the Lord. And so as we're moving along that road, we have that opportunity again this morning. And when we think about our offerings, we think about our time, our talents, and our gifts. And part of growing in Christ is understanding that when we place something in that plate or when we sign up for something, we may not always know what to expect, but we know and trust that God is in control of all of that. Let us pray together. Gracious, loving God, we thank you so much for this morning, where yet again in this time and place, we find ourselves gathered for you, to praise you, to glorify you. And in this moment of offering, open in our hearts, God, this trust, knowing that all that we do and that all that we give is for the building of your kingdom. And it's a blessed opportunity to do that. So help us to see that in this morning. And we ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.
Why I will worship. you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside.
Cole forward, and any child in the room so they can come listen to a children's message.
It's a game. It's your dad's. That's so nice. Oh, it's your mom's. That's so nice of her to share. Oh. Hey, can I ask you something? Can I ask you a question? Okay. So I have a question for everybody. Do you like starting something new? No? How does it make you feel to start something new? Maybe a little nervous? Excited? Like, think about, like, a new school year or maybe starting a new hobby. How do you feel about that? How does it make you feel to start a new school year? Do you feel nervous? Excited? Okay. Yeah? So you like when things change and there's things going on? I like it. Good. Well, our big kids are going through a lot of changes right now, so we have a lot of big kids that are graduating high school. Isn't that a big change? And then they have to maybe go to college or maybe start working. How do you think they feel? Scared? What? Not ready? Well, and we had some not ready. We had some kids do something today, some of our big kids. They went through confirmation and they were confirmed today. So they stood up and they confirmed their faith and they made that choice. So that's new, because now it's more on them, right? So that's a new beginning. That's starting something new. Well, today in our scripture reading, we're also going to hear about when Jesus had a new beginning. Does anyone think you might know what I'm talking about? Starts with a B. It was when he was baptized. That's right. Did you know Jesus was baptized? Do any of you remember when you were baptized? Or have you been baptized? Do you remember? Yeah? You were a baby, so you remember it? That's pretty impressive. You remember when you were a baby. Do you remember when you were baptized? Yeah? Yeah? Well, that's a new beginning too, right? So I want to read you something. When Jesus was baptized, God spoke and he said, "You are my son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." So what did he say? What did he tell Jesus? That he what? Oh, he wanted to be baptized too. Yeah. Did he say that he loves Jesus? Yeah. And he said that Jesus makes him feel what? Happy. That's right. Good job. So I think that's really important for us to remember, because when we start something new, maybe when you were baptized or when you get confirmed or when you graduate high school, I want you to remember that God feels the same way about you, right? Does God love us? Do you think we make God happy? Yes, we do. So can you remember that? All right. Are y'all ready to pray with me? Can you put your cell phone down and listen to me? Uh-oh, you can get it back. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for new beginnings. Help us to remember how much you love us and that you are always there for us. We love you. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke. We're in chapter 3, and I'll read verses 15 through 22. You can follow along on the screen. The people were filled with expectation, and everyone wondered whether John might be the Christ. John replied to them all, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn, but he will burn the husks with a fire that can't be put out." With many other words, John appealed to them, proclaiming good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler, had been criticized harshly by John because of Herodias, Herod's brother's wife, and because of all the evil he had done. He added this to the list of his evil deeds. He locked John up in prison. When everyone was being baptized, Jesus also was baptized. While he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit came down on him in bodily form like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven, "You are my son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." This is a word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nick. Well, good morning. It's nice to see y'all today. I'm glad y'all are here. This is the last Sunday in the Easter season, so we get one last chance to say, "Christ is risen." Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Today is Ascension Sunday, and as Nick mentioned a moment ago, we're going to celebrate those who renew their vows this morning, and also those who confirm their vows early in the earlier service. Welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad to see y'all in the room, and welcome to those of you who are joining us online as well. If you're just now joining us online, I want to encourage you to scan the QR code there. You can sign in, you can give to Asbury, you can also find out more about events coming up in the life of our church family. Welcome to our Between the Ditches series. Today we're talking about salvation, and I just want to ask just a real quick question. I know we may have some Baptist guests today, and no offense, my grandmama was a Baptist, amen? God rest her soul. She was a wonderful person. There's nothing wrong with Baptists, but I have a question. So, well, I remember when I was young, some of my Baptist friends would always want to know, Hammett, when were you saved? Y'all ever been asked that question by a Baptist friend? Raise your hand. Okay, do y'all know the Methodist answer? This is the summary of the sermon, by the way. Do y'all know the United Methodist answer for that? The United Methodist answer is, "I am being saved." Can we say that together? I am being saved. Because it ain't over till it's over, as Yogi Berra once said, and it ain't over until we love like Christ first loved us. Anybody there yet? Anybody there yet? So we are being saved. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. God, we do thank you for being with us today. We pray now that you'll give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down. Come on down, don't you wanna go down?
mothers, let's go down.
Well, I guess hard times flush the chumps. Everybody's looking for answers. Enjoy. Where the hell's he going?
Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's a straight and narrow from here on out. And heaven everlasting's my reward.
Delmer, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry.
The preacher said all my sins is washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo.
I thought you said you was innocent of those charges.
Well, I was lying. And the preacher said that sin's been washed away, too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water is fine.
Oh, I love that movie so much. I wish we could sit here and watch the rest of the thing and, you know, bring in lunch or something. But I heard a story about a seven-year-old boy who was baptized just like Delmer. And his mom was watching his baptism, and as she watched, tears started just running down her face. And so he comes out of the water, and she asked him, you know, if he felt any different. And the little boy looks at her and says, "Yeah, Mom, I have water in my nose." Well, what difference does baptism make in your life? What difference does your baptism make in your life? Well, you know, I suppose that the answer to that question is, what difference do you allow it to make in your life? It might be nothing at all. But when we really understand our baptism, it gives us a sense of identity and a sense of purpose. So think about it for a moment. What gives you your sense of identity? You know, when somebody asks me who I am, I'm very, very often I'll tell them where I'm from or what I do, you know, where I work. Or I might tell them about my relationship. So I'm Michelle Pound's husband, or I'm Nick and Kay Evans' son, or Bryce and Eleanor Evans' brother, or Faye and Mary Ellen Pound's son-in-law. But the problem is, with identifying ourselves in that way, is this. When our relationships change, you know, when we go through a loss, whether that's a death of a loved one, or perhaps a transition in job, or a divorce, or something like that, when stuff like that happens, we feel lost. We feel like we don't even know who we are or why we're here or what we are supposed to do. So our baptism reminds us of the one relationship that we have in life that lasts from beginning to end and beyond, and that is our relationship with God. That is the one relationship that truly defines who we are and what we are to do in the world. So I think we got a picture. The next picture. Oh, isn't that a beautiful baby? I say that because it's me. Yeah, that's me. That's the day I was born. And this is it from a photo album my granny has. And if you look, it's kind of blurry. I probably need a better scan of this. But if you could look very closely at the bracelet on the wristband on my wrist, you would see some initials. And the initials are T.N. Evans. Now, those are not my initials. My initials are H.N. Evans. I'm Hammett Nichols Evans. Those are my dad's initials. My dad was Tommy Nichols Evans, Jr., T.N. Evans, Jr. And so the day that I was born, they didn't identify me by my own name. They identified me by my relationship with my father. And baptism is kind of like that. Baptism is kind of like that ID bracelet. The baptism says this child belongs to God. She may not know who God is, but God already knows her, and she is already a part of God's family. So our baptism reminds us that we aren't defined by, you know, where we're from or where we work or what we do or who our parents are. Our lives are defined by our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. So what is that relationship all about? What is our relationship with God all about? Well, the first chapter of Genesis tells us that God created us to be in relationship with God and with one another. And so every person who ever lived, every person who is now alive, is created in God's image. You will never see another person that isn't God's child. And we expect our children to resemble their parents. And if I showed you a picture of my mom and dad, you would say, man, Brother Hammett looks like those two people had a baby. Amen? I mean, we expect that, and that's a good thing when that happens. But the same is true in our relationship with God, but it doesn't mean that God looks like us. Amen? I mean, it's not like God is a chubby, white, bald guy and middle-aged or whatever. But being created in God's image means that we reflect God's nature into the world. And the Bible teaches us that God's nature is defined by love, a very radical kind of love, like unconditional love. Like when you try to kill that love simply dies for us, as we'll see in just a moment. God created us to love that way, to love God and to love our neighbors unconditionally. But do you do that? Do you really love like Jesus first loved us? Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about myself, I realize that I often fall short of the love of Christ. There's something amiss. There's something in my heart that works against that love. And it causes me to do things that I know I shouldn't do, and it also causes me to not do things that I ought to do. In church, we call that sin. And United Methodists talk about sin as a disease. This goes back to John Wesley. It's an infection in our heart that keeps us from loving God and loving our neighbor to the fullest. So sin is a disease, and we're all infected. And one of the ways that you can read the Bible is as the story of how God heals us of that infection. God told us the rules in the beginning, but we heard them and we decided to do those anyway. We decided to break them anyway. God sent people, the prophets, to remind us about the rules and to say, this is how you're supposed to live. But we made fun of the prophets and we killed some of them. So finally, God in the Bible comes to us in Jesus Christ to heal us of sin once and for all. So as a human being, Jesus was tempted just as you and I are. He also suffered just like we do. Jesus died just like each and every one of us will. But as God, Jesus overcame sin and its consequences. Because of our sin, we made fun of God's Son. We spat in his face. We beat him bloody. We took him to the outskirts of the town and we nailed him to a tree and we gambled for his clothes while he bled and suffocated and died. Now somebody will say, preacher, I wasn't even born when that happened. But you and I were there. We are there when we bully somebody. We're there when we look down on somebody else for looking differently or acting differently or sinning differently or smelling differently than we do. We're still there at the crucifixion when we keep silent and others suffer. We're there when we betray our friends. We're there when we put others down to lift ourselves up. We're there when we allow our sin to take over our lives. We continue to crucify Christ today when we do things we shouldn't do and we neglect the things that we ought to do. And yet, in that very moment when we murdered God's Son on the cross, Christ simply gave his life for us. And in that mysterious and paradoxical act, God transformed the supreme act of our sin against God into God's supreme act of love for us. That is what makes grace so amazing. And I love the way the Christian author Philip Yancey puts it in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace. He says, grace means this. It means that there's nothing you or I can do to make God love us anymore, and there's nothing you and I can do to make God love us any less. That is grace. And that is God's love that saves us. It saves us from our sin, it saves us from evil, and it saves us from eternal death. And we simply trust in God's grace by faith. So that's what Jesus saves us from. It's just evil, sin, and death, no biggie. That's a pretty big deal, really. But just as important, as much as important, is what Jesus saves us, excuse me, but just as important as what Jesus saves us from is what Jesus saves us for. God created us to love as God loves, to love with the self-sacrificial love of Jesus Christ himself. And none of us are there yet. None of us are there yet. The good news is it's not something that you do. It's something that the Holy Spirit does in us. Albert Outler, who was the preeminent scholar of John Wesley in the 20th century, once said that that Wesley had a pneumatocentric soteriology. Can y'all say that? Really say it 10 times fast. A pneumatocentric soteriology. It's a very fancy way of saying something very simple. So pneumato has to do with spirit, and centric means centered, so spirit-centered. And soteriology is how theologians talk about how God saves us. So it's simply that the Holy Spirit saves us. Can we say that together? The Holy Spirit saves us. That's a fancy way of just saying that simple thing. It's not something that we do. It's something that the Holy Spirit accomplishes in our lives. So God doesn't just want to forgive you of your sins. God wants to heal your heart of sin, period. And we can't fix ourselves, but God can fix us. So before you were even born, before you had heard the name Jesus, before you were aware that there was a God, the Holy Spirit was already calling out to you, reaching out to your heart in love and grace. And that same Spirit continues to work in our hearts. So eventually we come to know that God loves us absolutely unconditionally. We see that because Jesus Christ died while we were sinning against God. Then the Spirit continues to work in our lives to make us more and more like Jesus Christ each and every day. That is what the Bible calls salvation. But it does not end with you and me. God's desire is for the whole world to be saved by this grace. God's desire is for you and me to be engaged in Christ's mission. And we get to be a part of that. It's pretty amazing. We are baptized into the mission that Jesus Christ gave to us after the resurrection. You may remember before he ascended into heaven, Jesus gathered with his disciples on the mountain, and he said, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I have commanded you. And see, I'm with you every day until the end of the age." You see, through our baptism, you and I have become followers of Jesus Christ, and we are the heirs of his mission on earth. By God's grace, we turn chaos into creation. By God's grace, we bring justice and light and love into a broken and hurting and dark world. God calls the church, and this morning at 9, we opened with that great song, "We Are the Church." Remember that? The church is not a, you remember, how does it begin? I always forget. The church is, what? The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a, I remember that, a resting place. The church is what? A people. The church is you and me. It's not the building. It's not the building. Not the building. So Christ calls us to be the place where people find God's kingdom. We bring light in the darkness, hope in despair, and we offer healing and forgiveness and redemption in Jesus' name because we follow Jesus Christ who did those very things. That is who we are, and that is what we do. But it takes a lifetime to get there. Amen? We're not there yet. So this reminds me of my older son, my older godson, Andrew. Andrew's 24 years old now, and he's engaged. He's going to get married sometime. I thought it was hilarious. He came and he asked me, he and Sabrina, his fiance, asked me if I would do the service. And they acted really scared about it. And I was like, "Dude, I'll marry you right now. You know, I got the book." Anyway, we can't do that. But anyway, but I'll never forget the day that young Andrew Grigsby was baptized. He was a little bit older than he is in the picture. That was our wedding day, and so this would have been a couple years after that. He was 5 years old, and so he was old enough to understand what was going on. And so we go to St. Philip's Cathedral. It's an Episcopal cathedral in Atlanta. Huge, gigantic sanctuary, beautiful, ornate, you know, stained glass and huge organ and all that kind of stuff. And we are gathering for the processional beforehand, and young Andrew is just freaking out. I mean, he is like terrified. He's crying. He's like, his stomach was turning. I thought he was going to get sick, you know, on all of us. And so he keeps asking this question over and over again. He keeps saying, I'm going to be with God. I'm going to be with God. I'm going to be with God. And we were like, yes. Okay, so here's the thing that you don't know. Like a lot of little kids, this is hilarious if it ever happens to you. When you're a pastor or a priest, little children will think that you're God. And like I was walking down the hallway one time in Fordyce, and I walked by the preschool classroom, and this little girl goes, hi, God. And I mean, it gives you the big head if you're not careful about it. But so he thought that the priest was God, and we kept saying, yes, you're going to go be with God. The priest is going to baptize you. Well, what we didn't realize until later was that when Andrew's uncle Harrison died, his parents told him that Uncle Harrison had gone to be with God. And so Andrew thought that he was going to die. And so we get down to the front, and time comes for the baptism, and we stand there together and make the vows on his behalf. Andrew's mom, Amy, who was here a couple weeks ago, some of y'all might have met her, hands Andrew to the priest, and the look on his face was just abject terror. And he looks deep in the priest's eyes, and he says, I'm still growing. And the priest just laughs. Dips his hand in the water. I baptize you, Andrew Harrison Grigsby, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then he hands Andrew back to his mother. And the look of relief on little Andrew's face was something I have never seen since. But you know, Andrew was right. Baptism is a death. It's a death to self. That self that is sin sick. That it's a death to that part of us that does things that we shouldn't do and neglects to do things that we ought to do. And it's a new birth into a life in which we follow Christ. And Christ heals our hearts each and every day until that day when we love perfectly, just as Jesus Christ first loved us. And so, friends, don't forget Andrew's lesson. You are still growing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. So earlier today in the 9 o'clock service, we had four young people come we had two that came to renew their vows of baptism and two that came to confirm their vows of baptism. And so I'll invite you now to join us. The responses should be on your screen. I invite Brother Nick to come. And let's get Brian. You want to get Brian? Oh, you already got Brian. Great minds, great minds.
That was the
dopeness. Okay. So we're a part of their church family too, amen? I mean, we're one church, not two. We just worship at two different times in two different spaces. And so we wanted to invite you and have you to be a part of their service today as well. Brothers and sisters, through baptism, we become a part of God's family, the church. We join in God's great acts of salvation, and we receive new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation and reaffirmation of faith, we renew the covenant made in our baptism, recognize God's work in our lives, and commit ourselves to God's work through the church.
This morning we presented Eli Odena, Joe Byers mentor, and Addison Landers, Christy Harward mentor, to renew their baptismal vows. Meredith Parker, Meg Byers mentor, and Liam Schimmer, Steve Fisher mentor, to confirm their faith.
Thank you, brother.
We're going to do the sprinkling stuff right after that.
Okay.
All right, congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reject sin and reaffirm your commitment to Christ?
All right, so we're going to renew our baptism.
Okay.
Listen, Nick, I was born in Dallas, Texas, and I was baptized on, I think it was October 26th, about a month after I was born. And I was baptized at Preston Hollow United Methodist Church in Dallas by Dr. Carl Keatley, whose family name is Keatley Drive in Little Rock. He grew up there. But Dr. Carl Keatley, my dad, Nick Evans, and my pawpaw, Gerald Hammett, were all baptized today.
Very good. I was baptized in 1987 at Timothy Lutheran Church, which is in Blue Springs, Missouri. I was baptized by Reverend Francis Lieb, and who baptized, got all three Shimmer boys done at one time, and maybe by one splash of the water. Me and my two brothers were all baptized on the same day.
Wow.
And so, that's my baptism.
Well, that's cool. Well, we're going to renew your baptism. I invite you to think about, you may not actually remember it, but you may know stories about it. And as you receive the water, just remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful.
I'll do it light.
Remember your baptism and be thankful.
Remember your baptism and be thankful. Y'all thought you sat far enough away, I'm assuming.
Remember your baptism.
But I just weave around. Remember your baptism and be thankful.
Remember your baptism and be thankful. I didn't quite hit K.
Remember your baptism and be thankful.
Remember your baptism.
Get him with a good one.
Remember your baptism and be thankful. I won't do the AV booth. We might blow something up.
Remember your baptism and be thankful.
But remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism.
We get them all?
I think we did.
Not the sound booth, right? All right, friends. Will you care for one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now in your care? With God's help, we will share the good news and live by Christ's example. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness so they may grow in their trust of God and become faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them so they may become true disciples who walk in the way leads to true life.
Members of God's family, I ask you to love and care for these persons. Do everything in your power to help their faith grow, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We thank God for all God has already given them. We welcome them in Christian love. As members in the body of Christ and this church family, we renew our vows to participate in the ministry of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, so that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
As we transition into our closing song, I do want you to know if you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ and received baptism, Brother Nick or I would love to talk with you about that and schedule that with you. If you'd like to become a part of the Asbury Church family, and you're not already, you're welcome to come down on the singing of this last song. Those options are also available to you if you're online. Just get in touch, and we'd be glad to welcome you into Asbury's family as well. Let's stand now, and we'll sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. You can also take this time to kneel in prayer at the rail or use the prayer stations that are around the
eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you high and lift.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you.
Thanks again for being here today, and thanks to those of you who worshiped online with us as well, whether you're with us on Sunday morning or later on in the week. I do have just a couple of quick announcements, and Brother Nick has one as well. We will have a what's called a charge conference that will be on June the 4th, immediately following the this service. It'll be at 12:15 in the large conference room. And our district superintendent, Ulysses Washington, will be here with us for that. It will be very short. All we're going to do is elect a new lay member to our annual conference so that they can go and attend in just a few weeks. The nominations committee and church council have recommended Rick Shelton serve in that position, and they'll be voting on that. All of our meetings are for church council and charge conference are open. Anybody can attend. The voting members of the charge conference are the members of our church council, so just be aware of that. But you're welcome to attend if you would like. It should not take very long. But anyway, that's coming up. And then Brother Nick has an announcement. Oh, you don't? Oh, that was for confirmation, and that was time sensitive, as we might say. Next Sunday is Memorial Day weekend, and we'll have one service in the sanctuary at 10 a.m., and we want to encourage you to come for that. The topic in the Between the Ditches series is it ever okay to kill? And so I want to encourage you to come for that as we consider matters of life and death. Would you now please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.
To see you high and lifted.
We're so glad that you joined us today. If this service has blessed you, I encourage you to share it with someone else. You can do that by sharing it on your Facebook page, or you can text or email the link. If this was your first time to worship with us, there are a couple of ways that you may follow up. Be sure to check out our website at the link below. Click on the visitor information button near the top of the home page. There you can fill out an online connect card to help us to get to know you a little bit better. You may also sign up for our email list and find out how to join Asbury there. You may also connect with us by following us on Facebook and by subscribing to our YouTube page. Whoever you are and wherever you are always welcome at Asbury. If you live in Central Arkansas, we'd love to meet you in person. You can find us at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in West Little Rock. If you have any questions or want to visit about joining our church family, email me at the link below. I look forward to seeing you at Asbury.